pray before I open God's word. And if you've got your Bible, always have it available, because you don't know whether heresy is coming from here. And if you've got your Bible, at least you can check it for yourself. And I'm going to concentrate on John 17. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your word we want to hear. Not David Evans, not a human voice, but the Spirit of God speaking through that person. Lord, touch our hearts. Help us to feel that joy that we've just sung about, that peace that we've just sung about, and especially that love which you're asking us to have towards each other. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Kevin's going to help me here, because I'm going to wink at him occasionally. It's not because I think he's lovely, it's just that we need the next slide. So the first slide that's going to come up, this man was my Bible principal when I was a student at the Army Bible College, just a few years ago now, 35 to be precise. Now, he was a Canadian. And he became later on the 14th world leader of the Salvation Army. He had done so well with us as a group of Salvation Army cadet officers that they made him the world leader. No, that's not true, but he became the world leader because he was good in his own right. He used to speak on a Monday morning to both sessions. So there would be 200 plus Salvation Army cadets sitting on a Monday, and the principal would open the word. And boy, he could preach. But on one particular occasion, he warned us. He said that you young people have a ministry before you, but I'm warning you now, he said. And I quote, "When the Salvation Army started, there is a danger that its churches need to be aware of," and I brackets here, every church needs to be aware of whatever their denomination. "There is a danger, when we started, we were undeniably a mission," he said. "It was called the Christian Mission, but developed into an organization which did really well. In just a matter of 15 years, it was in all of the four home countries, had moved into Europe, and had already gone into Australia and the United States and Canada. Today, 130 countries. The danger," he said, "was that if you become an organization, which you need for that amount of work, and the Methodist Church House is equally the same with a much bigger denomination, there is a danger of becoming an institution, not just in our own eyes, but in the eyes of the world that sees us either as irrelevant or out of date in their perception." He stated, "Unless the mission is held on to and the Holy Spirit is central within that mission, there's a danger of going from organization, institution, into mausoleum, a museum." Are we relevant? Are we relevant to the world in which we live? How can we be with it, to quote the world, without losing the thing that is central, that makes us tick, and that's our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? The first one, thank you, Kevin, is that we need to behave as one. Unity is a word that is often a swear word by some people. In the 1960s and 70s, my father was the chair of Churches Together in Liverpool, just before Archbishop Warlock and Bishop David Shepherd walked down Hope Street. Do you remember it, some of you? And the division between the Catholics and Protestants in Liverpool started to dissipate. It disappeared. I was there recently, as I said, with that Catholic adoramus, which I participated in. And the sheer love and affection between the now Bishop of Liverpool and the Catholic Archbishop of Liverpool was real. They were friends. They laughed together. During that week, they cried together, and they shared how the churches were working ecumenically. There's a need to be one. Do we have any maths teachers here? Anybody taught maths in school? Brilliant. Well, you'll know exactly that mathematicians recognize unity as the value of one. Am I correct? Thank you. I was one of those sort of teachers in maths who used to keep a page ahead of the kids, because I struggled if I didn't. Here, very quickly, I need to stress that unity is not uniformity. Say that very quickly. Being at one with each other is not necessarily room uniformity, being exactly the same as each other. There's a danger. I belong to a world organization that wears uniforms, and you could consider that's an organization that looks like each other. But actually, in fact, we don't. We are so different in so many ways. We're as broad a church as some people describe the Anglicans. And we can go from a charismatic swinging in the chandeliers corps to a very high, crusty, high church, Salvation Army. It's a very varied organization. What mission is about of being in unity together is sharing in relationships. Whether you're married, or whether you have families, or whether it's at work, or whatever the situation is. Malcolm Duncan's book, One for All, says we live in an increasingly divided world full of different colors. Whether it's President Trump's Republicans against Democrats, Remainers against Brexiteers, or loose divisive comments on Twitter or Facebook, division sadly colors so much of our world. It's a good book if you want to read it, Malcolm Donald. But what colour is unity for you? What colour is unity for me? What colour is unity for the Church of God today? One of the benefits of being a national ecumenical officer, you get the statistics of other churches, how they're doing or not doing. Did you know how many denominations there are in the world? Any idea? Can I have a few tries? 10? 1,000? That's warmer. Anybody else? 5,000. Oh, that's cold.
More.
That's very accurate, but not precise. Bet more. 39,000 and rising. We're not very good at being one body, we, are we? You know, even within the Methodist movement, of which we are part, did you know that? Salvation Army comes out of Methodism, and we were a Wesleyan Connection group, and the national evangelist for the Wesleyan Connections was William Booth. And so that's why much of our terminology, our doctrines are identical to you. I'm stationed as a presbyter. We have 10 doctrines which match your doctrines, 11 doctrines, get it right. We have so much in common. The second slide. My unit at the national headquarters, the Salvation Army, has its own motif, if you like. It's this. It's a boat. And what happens if you're in a boat? You're all in it. That comes up as well now, I think. Yes. All in the same boat. That's my maxim, if you like, for my department. That's why we exist, that we want to give and receive from other denominations. Dr. Callum Slipper, for the Anglican Church, their National Ecumenical Officer, talks about receptive ecumenism. Not that what the Anglicans can do for others, but what others can do with the Anglicans to reach the gospel to the world that needs it. As a denomination, the Salvation Army is halfway through a 4-year cycle of a teaching program, which is called TIDE, Transformation, Integration, Discipleship, and this year, which is the 4th year of the cycle, then it resumes because it never stops, is Effectiveness. I have to ask myself as a Christian, how effective am I in what I'm trying to do in my streets? Most of my neighbors are either Jews, Hindus, or Sikhs. That's where I live. How am I going to get the Christian gospel over to them? I go ever so well with the Sikh lady, She gives me lifts to the station if she sees me. She's really lovely. And if she sees me coming back, she'll also pick me up. So we've developing a relationship which is based on being good people who live in the same street. But change. Visiting speaker, and he talks about change. Am I brave or what? I can think of some Salvation Army congregations, and I've not had many, I've only had 7 churches in my entire ministry, where change sometimes is a swear word, and they don't like it. When I was a teacher 35 years ago, the most technical piece of equipment my school had was a blue carbon paper printer. Did anybody remember those? It's before the electronic Gestetners came in, and long before the PCW5912 Amstrad computer with its little one font printer. And if you wanted to change the font, you had to take the whole print out and put the next one in. Now I go to my state-of-the-art computer, which one of my congregation in my last church bought me. I have got a font range possibly 600-700, I don't know. It's huge. And I only ever use Arial, but nevertheless, I've got variety if I want it. Change. One church I went to, it was interesting. I asked them, do they sing or do they recite the Lord's Prayer? Oh, we recite it. And as we were about to start, the organ struck up. Strange, but they recited it. Evening service, it was a whole day, that particular service. And the same thing happened. I spoke with one of the elders afterwards, the stewards afterwards. I said, what happens here? Oh, the organist didn't like it when we stopped singing the Lord's Prayer. How long ago was that? 24 years ago. Change. I understand you used to have pews in here, and Gambia is now the richer for them. Is that right? Well, I can think of a few Salvation Army Corps where pew equivalents were, or the benches they used to have in some of the old hall, would have caused World War III, if you dared to suggest to remove them. Another Salvation Army Corps where the brass band had seen better days. In fact, it reminded me of Battersea Dogs Home Choir. They were so noisy and out of tune. And they suggested a worship band. And there were some good young musicians to perform in it, but they objected so much they lost those young musicians. Change. It can be a swear word. Next one. Are we brave enough to see a bigger picture? I like this one. Have we gone too far? Sorry, I missed priorities out. Well, this is a priority. So are we brave enough for a bigger picture? That's the one. Okay. One thing I do remember, I used to do a little bit of biology when I was a primary school teacher, and magnifying glasses were very useful. And the kids would go, wow! 100 times bigger on some of the more powerful ones. Colonel Tilsley, my principal, who became the general, mentioned the danger of becoming an institution. My ministry over the last 35 years has confirmed that we shouldn't be an organization, but an organism. An organism is something that's continually changing, always on the move, always receptive to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And I look at the Bible, and I look at Acts chapter 2 particularly, and I see a group of Christians who shared everything together, and they were changing and evolving together. And it says this, where they shared together their strengths and their weaknesses, and they became a loving family. And guess what? And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Relationships. Being brave to open the ice. Why? Listen to John's gospel and Christ's words. Verse 22, if you've got your Bible. This is from the Amplified Version. I have given to them the glory and honor which you have given me, that they may be one just as we are one. Doctrine, Salvation Army, Methodist share, undivided in essence and co-equal in power and glory, the Trinitarian God that we believe in and love. Bishop Tom Wright says this: when you make this prayer your own, you are being invited to come into the heart of that intimate relationship between Jesus and the Father and have it happen all around you. My wife and I have been stationed in a variety of stations of Salvation Army Corps. We have never seen one of them decline. We've struggled to grow in some of them, I hasten to add, but some of the depth of their growth is still there because they grew firmly in what they believed. Others grew very rapidly, but sadly now are not as strong as they used to be. Tom Rainer, an American writer and Southern Baptist, wrote, "Believers make little dent in the darkness when they shoot each other in the back." I'm going to read that one again. Believers make little dent in the darkness when they shoot each other in the back. Are we brave enough to be inclusive enough, Kevin? 1726, "And I have made your name known to them and will continue to make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, overwhelming their heart, and I may be in them." Wow. The largest congregation we had when we were appointed or stationed into a Salvation Army Corps was 200 at the start of our ministry. It's the largest one. And boy, they thought they were the bees and knees. They thought they were the most welcoming church that Christendom had ever seen. But it didn't take my wife and I too long to discover that in that congregation, there were people who felt left out. There were folk who were gifted and talented that they were pushed to the back because either they weren't in the family or their faces didn't fit. St. Paul teaches our commitment to God should reflect our fundamental commitment to each other. 1721, "And that God has loved you just as he loved Christ." If you're ever feeling left out, if you're one of those that feels sometimes on the margin, you don't have to. Listen to these words and read it to yourself when you get home. John 17:21, "And that God has loved you just as he loved Christ." That God has loved you just as he loved Christ. Do you believe it? Is anybody there? Do you believe it? Hallelujah. You're getting more like the army. That's lovely. There's no PowerPoint for this, Kevin, so you can relax just for a second. Are we brave enough, this is my last point you'll be pleased to hear, to open up to the Spirit of God? When I became a young Christian, the gentleman in the Salvation Army band who was responsible for the pastoral care of those in the band — I play a brass instrument, as a lot of Sally's do — and Brian was our band sergeant. He was the spiritual mentor for the men and the ladies in the band. And he sat down with me on one occasion and said, "You're struggling at the moment, David, aren't you?" And he turned to this, 1 Peter 5:8. "The devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking for someone to devour." Well, I didn't want to be his dinner. Do you? There's no need for us to at all, because we have somebody on our side who is greater than he that is in the world. But the devil picks on weakness. But when we are truly together, and I'm not just talking about within the church, but the churches of the same denomination in the same place, or the other churches of other denominations within that same area, when we are together in our diversity, we become a powerhouse. I'll give you one illustration. In our last but one church, we had 2 or 3 homeless people who used to turn up a week when we arrived. When we left, there was some between 30 and 40. The homelessness situation in London had just done this, expanded incredibly. That you go to Windsor, you'll see at least 10, 12, 13, 14 people lying asleep as you travelled up from the station to go to Windsor Castle. It's a different world to what I taught in Windsor, and you were unlikely to see any. But if we have relationships between churches, we can achieve things. We had asylum seekers sent to Wrexham in North Wales, and we had those homeless in North London. What happened when the churches worked together? I wrote a letter to the council, and they ignored it. Totally and completely. But when the representatives of 30,000 Christians across that London borough wrote to the council leaders, they actually gave us three houses so that we can manage them to give a halfway house for the homeless. When we do things together, we can make a difference. My father, who, as I say, was a fiery Welsh hammer and nail preacher. And you know what I mean by that? You know, if you don't get saved, you're going to a place you shouldn't go to, that type of thing. And he used to quote this: the devil will pick us off one by one to the things of the world, the flesh, and the devil. You know, the church is not this lovely 60s building. This is a building. The church is you. And you. And you, and you, and me. Wherever you are tomorrow, the LICC said, London Institute of Contemporary Christianity, you are the church. Where you are in the office, you become Christ. You may be the only Christ that they will ever see that week. We need to stand up and not be a piece of brick masonry, but to be the body of the living Christ. In my office, the headquarters of the United Kingdom, I work and pray with, and I'm going to list them, Anglicans who work there, Methodists who work there, Baptists who work there, various types of Charismatics and Pentecostals who work there, Free Church who work there, some baptized in water, some speakers in tongues where English is their second language, ethnically based churches of every color. But one of the things I rejoice after 2 years in this appointment, this station, we get on. We pray together. The Tuesday prayer group I belong to, I'm the only Salvationist in it. And boy, do I look forward to it. We're not perfect, but we're honest with each other. And that's what God wants in this Lord's Prayer, the high priestly prayer of John 17, that we build relationships with each other. You know, unity becomes a side product when we do as Jesus says. It's almost inevitable. The more we do and obey what his Spirit is saying. John Wesley, I thought as I was in the Methodist Church, I'd find a suitable quote. Though we cannot think alike, may we not love alike. May we not be of one heart, though we are not of one opinion, without all doubt we may. Herein, all the children of God may unite, notwithstanding these smaller differences. Marcel Proust has got a quote. The real voyage of discovery consists not in seeking new landscapes, but in having new eyes. I think that's wonderful. Every opportunity, whether it's for the person who you find the lost property, it's an opportunity to be Christ. Whether it's for the person who's 87 years old and need maybe a bit of encouragement, I don't know. You can be Christ in that situation. Whatever the situation is, you can become Christ. You will be the church. Just to recap. We're going to go through each point at a time, but I'm not going to talk about them. Just going to recap. We need to behave as one. Are we brave enough? Are we brave enough to change our priorities? Are we brave enough? Are we brave enough to see a bigger picture? Are we brave enough? Are we brave enough to be inclusive? Are we brave enough to be open to the Spirit of God? May the Lord add his blessing and understanding to the reading of his word. Amen. Give thanks with a grateful